Die Gegensprechanlage. Man ist 20, man ist 30, man ist 40, man ist 50, man ist 60, man ist 70, man ist 80, man ist 90, man ist 100, man ist 100, man ist 100, wow, 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 wow.
HK119, das Donna Haraway Phänomen der Elektromusik. Letzten Monat war HK119 in Wien, die Künstlerin, die auch als Heidi Kilpeläinen bekannt ist. Die Gegensprechanlage hat sie zusammen mit Thomas Sylvester Hörl getroffen und ein bisschen geplaudert. Über Genetic Engineering, Transhumanism, Climate Change und Social Control. Das sind einerseits biopolitische Diskurse, andererseits aber auch Song- und Albumtitel der aktivistischen feministischen Künstlerin. Die finnische, in London lebende HK119 produziert elektronische Musik, die nahe an der Performance-Kunst angesiedelt ist. Sie spielt mit Genderbegriffen und sexuellen Erwartungshaltungen, insbesondere heterosexuell orientierter Männer. HK119 begann als bildende Künstlerin zu arbeiten und fand dann über die Performance den Weg auf die Bühne, der elektronischen Musik und zu populären Medien. Augenblicklich arbeitet sie beim gleichen Label wie Björk in London. Neben ihrer Arbeit als geklonter Superbug macht sie gerade eine cyborgianische Verwandlung durch. Von der metallenen Drohne eine Metamorphose zu Nature Queen. Wir sind gespannt. Aber wie hat alles begonnen? Wie wurde die Science Fiction real? Wie kam ein Videocharakter auf die Bühne?
The name HK119 was born inspired by THX1138 by George Lucas as a project that grew from home on an 8-track machine. Started as songs and then videos. So the persona was born while I was at art school.
Wie hat sich diese Persönlichkeit entwickelt? Was sagt Heidi, die Teil dieser Person ist? Und was passiert, wenn Technoid organisch wird? Wie nennt man die Wesen, die da entstehen? Hatte Donna Haraway recht, als sie sich über die minotaurische Verbindung zwischen Hund und Technik und Mensch Gedanken gemacht hat?
I'm even in the process of actually understanding it. It's in the past year there's been a big change in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I have revisited myself. I have rediscovered myself. I have visited my own demons, if we could say. And through this process, I have sort of landed in a different place where I approach similar subjects, but from a different place. So it's... Before, I might have been more sort of talking about technology and, you know, the kind of science fiction, juicy kind of dramatic, malfunctioning world where things go wrong. And of course, things really are going wrong. So rather than warning maybe that things are going to go wrong, it's like, okay, well, they really have gone wrong now, so let's start counting the water liters we're allowed to use or you know, worship the nature. You know, I love the idea of going back to kind of like folk tales and pagan kind of worshipping of nature and using that as a source. So there is a link, but it's not, somehow it doesn't seem to make sense. But personally, for me, I just landed there by, like, if I was thrown up in the air.
Es gibt eine Logik zwischen Roboter und Naturreligion, und diese ist nicht esoterisch oder psychotisch. Vielmehr organologisch. Ein gewachsener Pilz. Aber was passiert, wenn man es vertont? Welche Themen sind die großen Themen, die sich in diesem biopolitischen Universum auftun? Überwachung? Manipulation?
The second album, like the first album, the debut album, were kind of concept based and was mostly inspired by science fiction and fact, but also current issues like consumerism. The first album did tracks like Buy Me and Excess about consumerism. And on the second album, this social control was about, you know, surveillance and loss of liberties, like the cigarette became a symbol for loss of liberties at the time where it became forbidden to smoke in public places. So I was just kind of like pointing a finger at that, do you realize that we're losing liberties daily without even actually realizing? Mm-hmm. And the kids of today, you know, I'm questioning, are they too iPodiated to notice what's really going on? That the liberties are taken away, but in a really clever, subtle way. Mm. And if you're growing in the middle of it, or like, you know, attitudes to smoking have changed. The kids, a lot of kids, I think it's really uncool. But people of my generation, like, it's the reverse. And of course, I'm not promoting smoking, but it's just a vehicle to say, hang on, do you realize what's going on? This is just one thing. And of course, it's got good things about it. We can't even debate that.
Hängen die biopolitisch-aktivistischen Weckrufe mit den Science-Fiction-Themen zusammen? Sind diese Parabeln wirkliche, reale, zukünftige Szenarien? Oder eben auch Wirklichkeiten, die schon existent sind, von uns aber nicht wahrgenommen werden? Zum Beispiel auf den Alben Superbug und Space Tourism beschrieben?
Again, current issues, very much linked with science fiction and fact. but also Bible. There's a quote on Superbug from Bible. And I was working, I even did an EP's worth of material called Apocalypse Series. And part of those songs were part of this show, art, what do you call it, a commission for an art gallery. And it was called The Great Non-Figurative K, which you can see on YouTube if you Google YouTube HK119. So it was a 15-minute piece where some of this apocalyptic stuff was involved. And from there, the superbug evolved from this kind of Bible idea of like we're living at the age, you know, the end of an era and the Mayan time ending, and you know it's all coming doom and gloom. Of course, that's not the case. Don't be scared. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be really good, apart from the weather. So superbug. And of course, you know, we've always had a bug of a kind. It was AIDS, and now it's swine flu. And that's part of controlling as well, because people are, it's better to control people with fear, of course, and keep them thinking about something like a bug. If it's not terrorism, then it's got to be a bug, so that the public stays in their place and don't realize what other things might be going on globally in terms of, you know, if we want to get into a zeitgeist world of manipulation of people's lives and how little we actually are and unable to maybe do anything.
Und wie reagiert HK119 darauf? Benutzt sie dieselben manipulativen Strategien, um gegen Kontroll- und Ausschlussmechanismen vorzugehen? Wie passt sich der Charakter an?
HK has always been the kind of the bitch from hell who is the servant to whoever kind of evil force there would be, because it was the juicy, dramatic role to play. So I've always enjoyed playing that role of part of the manipulative process. But then I think there are moments when I'm sort of a victim as well, but it's not very clear when the boundary is flipping.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might flip so fast that you don't even really recognize it.
Welche Formensprache spielt HK119? Einerseits ganz klar mit Anlehnungsmomenten an das Bauhaus, auch im Aufbau der Performance. Gleichzeitig geht sie darüber hinaus.
Well, there were, you know, very strong icons that influenced my life forever when I came across them. And they were like the triple act would be like Iggy Pop, David Bowie and Lou Reed. That was the, and especially the kind of Berlin era, what was happening, that time, that sort of really hit me. And then bands like Ultravox, Japan, Kraftwerk, Nina Hagen, Suzy Sue, Suzy and the Banshees, Grace Jones, you know, these really strong, charismatic performers, which I don't seem to, I don't know, maybe I'm blind, but I just don't feel that they're around anymore. Something's changed. You could educate me, please, what it is exactly.
Yeah.
But something has happened. There's, I don't know. Yeah, anyway. So those people really influenced me and changed my cellular formation of my body for the rest of my life. Then you discover people like Klaus Nomi, which I wouldn't have known when I was a kid. But now looking back, it's like, wow, that guy was like so far out, so cool, and so close to what I'm doing, you know, in terms of like, I didn't even know him when I was doing my geometric things. And then you just, it's like some long lost brother or something.
Thank you.
dem körperlichen Sprengen der adaptierten modernistischen, bioorganischen und technoiden Sprache liegt aber auch ein Spiel mit der Verwandlung sexueller Muster.
It started stronger and sort of more less sexual. I think it started now looking back. No, but this is my. I don't know if this is the truth. Maybe I was, but I'm just where I am in my own personal journey. My sensuality has changed, so it all feels different, and I think I'm moving even more different now, differently. So there is a journey going on there. So yeah, perhaps that has come along later. It's changed. It's softer. It's more feminine. Before it was much more punk attitude, and it was much in your face. I mean, they'd be scared of me. Now maybe there's a bit more human.
Greetings. We are not of this planet. We do not understand your strange customs. Your planet's ecosystem is failing. Your leaders deny this. Explain. Your leaders deny this.
Unlike Grace Jones, you know, how when she worked with Jean-Paul Gaud, all that stuff was directly from Bauhaus. Yeah. Taken from Bauhaus, yeah. And then me looking at her in the 80s, or even discovering her later, that particular period, and using the same source, not from Grace Jones directly, but actually going to the original source, which would be the beginning of 1900. All those movements, Dada, Futurism, Constructivism, Bauhaus, all that era was so fruitful and inspiring. I'm writing my third album now. I've just been to Finland to shoot some film footage. We hope that it will match the lip sync once the songs are produced. So they're still on the demo stage. So I've so far got two albums out. One is HK119 debut, and the second one is Fast, Cheap and Out of Control, both on One Little Indian. And I have to mention that the second album is produced by iMonster from Sheffield, which are a fabulous band to check out. They're on my top friends in MySpace. iMonster, very clever. And Simon Duffy also produced a few songs. He's worked with people like Leftfield and stuff in the past. I'm really allowing myself to play whatever, you know, just kind of like strip any concept. There is a tendency for me to want to frame a thing with a concept and to stay within those boundaries, except maybe one thing poking out, which would be the kind of like song about consumerism. It's not science fiction, but it's, you know, current issue. So that I've got a tendency to want to frame, and I don't know if this is a Virgo thing or it's a survival thing from childhood. It's easier to exist, I think, under something that's you think you control. So this time I want to try and really break all the walls and allow myself really try and express what comes from the deepest place that I'm trying to find on a personal level, and also to really creatively move on without expectations and without my own manipulations and things that often, you know, we imprison ourselves, I think, often too easily. So it's quite an interesting way of writing now. So we shall see what ends up being. But we can't change these things. We can't the media is far too powerful for us to actually make big changes about it. Yeah, we can do independent radio and talk about revolution, but where does it actually, in a bigger picture, you know, ends up?
No, yeah.
So the best thing that where the biggest change, who is this quote from? Dalai Lama? No, Gandhi? Someone like that. If you want to see change, you start from yourself. So that's the best place. And of course, you know, question of freedom, are we free? Well, of course we're not. But if you sit and meditate, is that freedom? You have your own, perhaps a spiritual world that is your territory. And and you are your own God in that sense.
Für mehr Informationen zu HK119 und freie Downloads sowie die Möglichkeit, ihre Musik für onelittleindian.co.uk zu remixen, besucht sie auf MySpace und hk119.co.uk. Tschüss und Pfiat Enk sagen Ruby Sirka, Thomas Silvester Hörl und Wolfgang Meisinger im Namen der Popi-Gegensprechanlage auf Radio Orange 94.0.